hockey. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd. It is AJ. It's the Wednesday extravaganza. So it's Jesse Pierce, Bar Down Beauties, and also covers the Wild for NHL.com. And I've got a page of notes here of things I was brainstorming today to talk about because I thought, well, the Wild plays one more game. It's hopeless at this point, but there's, you know, I got to come up with something. And then lo and behold, the sports gods provide. Marc-Andre Fleury is not retiring as we suspected he might. Marc-Andre Fleury has signed a contract to return next season. AJ and I are curious what the details are, Jesse Pierce. What have you learned today in your reporting on what is actually a very interesting move, in my opinion, by the Wild?
Yeah, you know what? I think, again, Marc-Andre Fleury has shown himself of value this year. He can still play despite his age, which we all joked after speaking with him this afternoon, isn't really that old because we're all the same age as him in that media scrum. But 1 year, $2.5 million, and Marc-Andre Fleury did, in fact, say next year is it. He is not coming back. He will not be considering coming back. He will not play anywhere else. Next year is the final year he left, that he will not be doing this again. So pretty exciting stuff. I mean, certainly it's telling because now Minnesota has three goaltenders to consider moving forward with next year, whether that's the tandem of Fleury and Philip Gustafson, who is under contract for another two seasons after this year, or whether it is Fleury and Jesper Valstead. Those things to be considered. I actually asked Bill Guerin just that today as he spoke with media following the signing, and he said that they are going to discuss that later on. They haven't made any decisions. You know, they've liked what they've seen from Jesper in the couple games here. But he's also been not incredibly disappointed with Philip Gustafson, which was a little surprising to me. Guerin had mentioned he thought that a lot of the players didn't play great in front of him a lot of times. And there were certainly some really good games as of late. But as we have speculated on this podcast, and I know in other areas too, Bill Guerin did say Philip Gustafson's fitness levels are what kind of keep getting in the way of his success. He needs to really dedicate himself. And he had mentioned it's not just Philip, it's everybody, but that's something that Gus has been struggling with. That was his big criticism coming into last year, too, that he was out of shape. So, you know, I know he just had a baby. He was working on that dad bod, maybe. So maybe that's why we've seen a less than impressive Philip Gustafson this year. But again, let's all hold all trade rumors and halt all of that conversation because Bill Guerin didn't outright say today, yes, this means that we are now moving Gustafson in favor of a Fleury Jesper tandem. So still a lot of discussions to be had in that respect.
This show will not be held down. This show will not be told. This guy's being traded. This guy's being traded. Like, are you really going to have Gustafson back? Because Wallstedt at some point is coming up. If you don't want on opening night, but at some point in time, he ain't going to spend another third year, right? Like you got to think right. That this is the perfect transition. This is the perfect time to take the Gus bus to market. God bless him, but like, I don't think you bring Fleury coming back to me. And I know that we're going to complain about the contract and we're probably going to complain about the fact he can't be traded. But anyway, I actually love this because, I mean, first of all, my expectations for the 2024-25 team are not going to be super high. Like, I'm going to go into with the same caution. Now, I'd like to see more effort at times, but I'm going to go in with the same caution that I did to this year to a certain degree. But furthermore, I love this, like, if Wallstedt has a problem, if things aren't going well, you got a guy who's a great teammate, a Hall of Fame goaltender. I think this makes a ton of sense, but I don't need a wingman goaltender. I can do without the wingman, and I can just do with the two guys. And then I sign someone who can sort of transition back and forth, but obviously that's not going to be the Gus bus.
Yeah, this feels like it's inevitable at this point. It's just a matter of when that's in my eyes. And Jesse, I know you have a reputation to uphold. I don't have a good reputation. So I'm fine with saying, I think Philip Gustafson is going, I think it's just a matter of time. And this is where maybe that trade deadline, people were kind of talking, will they, won't they, maybe they didn't get the value, the offer that they wanted him wanted for. But now could that potentially shift in my mind to like a draft night deal? You look at teams that maybe were rumored around that trade deadline that need a goalie, that still need a goalie moving forward here. The Wild, as things stand, kind of in that 13 spot right above them, just a tickle of a couple spots up. And the New Jersey Devils, they're sitting in the 10th spot right now. They need a goalie. What about a first-round swap? They throw the kicker in there. You're probably going to have to include another pick somewhere down the road as well. But something along the lines of getting Gustafsson out so that you can open up a clear pathway for that Fleury-Volstead tandem, I think next year is going to be fantastic. Because I'm tired of hearing the same thing what we heard for a while with like Boldy, Rossi down in Iowa. It's all good things. It's all good stuff. I want Volstead up with the big club. He's not going to have the same type of results that we saw his first start down in Dallas. Next year, that's a clean slate. Let's get him up here. Let's get him fully engulfed in professional NHL hockey. And that starts by moving Philly Gustafsson out.
But I got counterpoints to this, right? And now I will say I've been very adamant this year that Marc-Andre Fleury was my number one goalie this year. He will play in game number 40 tomorrow night, the regular season finale, but just the finale too. We can remove that regular season since their season's done.
That's all she wrote.
So I will say, yeah, it's all she wrote. But I haven't been a huge fan of Philip Gustafsson, right? However, in reading between the lines today, I don't have any qualms necessary of moving forward with Fleury and Gus next year. I don't have any qualms with Jesper playing another year in the American Hockey League. Now, that could be the USA Hockey Kool-Aid I'm constantly drinking about, you know, development and keeping guys down there and letting them grow.
Yeah, stop with that.
I
Kool-Aid down on the counter.
Yeah.
And spike it.
I can't. It tastes good. I do spike it. I do, because it's better that way. But
I still
believe in development, you know?
No judgment.
So I don't hate it. Like, I'm not going to be mad either way, really, truth be told. If they trade Gus and get enough in return, great. If they keep him for another year, that's fine with me too, which I know is a very wishy-washy answer, but it's truly how I feel. Most importantly, Marc-Andre Fleury is coming back. I joked with him. I said, you're coming back in order to get on either this podcast or the Bar Down Beauties podcast, right? Since we missed him the first go-round. And he said, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, he'll do it.
So, yeah. No, I know. We already put the seed there, Judd. That's how I operate.
And I know what podcast you're going to try and get him on, too.
You know, I don't know if you guys heard ESPN throwing out a Bar Down Beauties reference the other night. We're going
places. No, when?
Mainstream.
No. Tell us.
So, shout out to my friend Arda Orkal, who works for the ESPN desk. Oh, yeah. He was covering that game on Monday. I had jokingly texted him mentioning that he should make sure to say something nice about the Minnesota Wild tonight, because, of course, they were not performing very well at the time. And he came back and said, well, hopefully we can see some more Bar Down Beauties, and texted me and he said, there you go. That's my shout out to you. So
very nice.
Yeah, way to go. What,
was there a little spike?
Thanks, guys. There was a little spike. It was nice.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
of course
very.
Not. I think a few people that were listening probably made the connection, and the other people were like, yeah, we love Bar Down Beauty goals.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's nice though. So the Fleury thing, I think we all can agree, and I do think that there are going to be some who don't like this. I like this. I think it's a good move. Now, I guess where I fundamentally disagree with you a little bit, Jesse, is I think this is a good move if it's done right. I don't need Gus and Fleury back. I really like the fact that, because if nothing else, I love the thought of Volstead getting the impact of Flower. Like to me, that's such a huge transitional thing, because like that's a position that most people don't understand. Because it's not like you're a winger and it's like, I can go talk to my buddies who play wing or center, you know? Yeah. Like, it's a tough position. So I love that. Let's talk about something I don't love. And I think we all should agree on this. That meaningless victory. Well, actually not meaningless. That very negative, impactful victory against the Kings, who, by the way, I blame the Kings. Like, that wasn't a Wild fault. That was a, hey, what the hell? Kick the Kings and the Breezers. What are you doing? That game was incredibly important, and they just basically didn't show up for two periods, as the ESPN guys talked about. So if I have this right, age, correct me if I'm wrong, the Wild's draft position now is locked into 13th.
Not locked in.
Okay, it's not locked in.
Not locked in.
Oh, because Philadelphia losing actually hurt the Wild, correct?
Yes. So
explain it. That's fine.
So the other night, if the Wild had, so they win. What was needed for Wild fans across the state was any points in by the Flyers last night. But whether or not they knew they were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, John Tortorella does not care. He plays by his own rules. So
correct.
With 3 minutes to go, even though they had already known, they had been able to know at this point. He pulls
he
the
said
goal.
He didn't know. Don't you tell Torts he knew what he
was. Well, he said it was a minute
he
before.
Said he didn't know.
I saw a great tweet that said he knew and did it to screw Pittsburgh.
And frankly, if like I said, he plays by his own rules, and I respect it.
He does. This is true.
So they pull the goalie. Caps win, but that locks in at, let's see here, 87 points, Philadelphia Flyers. They have less regulation wins than the Minnesota Wild. They are now locked into 12th. So the Wild sit in that 13th spot. They, however, can go down to 14th because Pittsburgh plays tonight against the New York Islanders. If the Islanders lose to the Penguins then pick up points, and that benefits the Wild, and the Wild then are locked into 13th. But if the Pittsburgh Penguins lose in regulation, the Wild cannot pick up any points tomorrow against the Seattle Kraken. Otherwise, they drop down to 14th. So there is still, unfortunately, further fall in the draft for the Wild. And that goes back to the meaningless win that was on Monday night.
You know what you got to do? You got to call Anders Lee. You got to call Brock Nelson up. You got to say, hey, boys, here's the deal. Here's what you got to do for this team. Because the East is already locked in. They've already got their standings locked. It's done. So it's not going to behoove New York to beat Pittsburgh. And so that's what we'll make some calls.
And you can't move up more than 10 spots, correct? So if they lock into 14th, the highest that they could theoretically move up is 4th. If they are 13th, so they cannot move into the first two spots. It's all confusing. But anyway, that victory, that was the poster child of the Zolgadian nightmare right there, Jesse. It was a nightmare watching that win. And again, I fault the Kings. And how do the Kings expect to win in the playoffs with Cam Talbot starting?
Dude, can we just talk about the disrespect of Kirill Kaprizov off of Cam Talbot's noggin there? Oh. That was just a beauty.
You think that's a
practice
move? I feel
kind of bad that Talbot has the hate, but I understand it too, right?
Like, yes.
It
was, he's just not that good, though. Like, he can get hot, but he's not that good. Do you guys think the Kirill goal off Cam's head, basically, off the back of his mask, was a spontaneous Kirill move or I remember him in practice and he gave up the post like that move?
Oh, I don't think anything Kirill does is spontaneous. I think he's a very methodical, very strategic player. So I have to imagine he kind of had an inkling of what could be done. Then again, hockey's a fast-moving sport, too, so there has to be some reactionary times.
Sure.
And that could be it. But yeah, I don't.
I feel like that's similar to like the Michigan type of thing where if the opportunity presents itself, maybe, sure, but you don't go looking to try that. That was let's survey our options, and then, you know what? It's here. Let's just try it. And worst comes to worst, I just bank Talbot in the head, and we move on with play. You know what?
Have you guys seen the documentary on the Michigan?
I have not yet.
It just got released. No. I saw, a brief clip about it, and it was hard to watch because it happened, obviously, against the Gophers, right, in the NCAA tournament. But it's the brief bit I saw. I'm pretty excited. You're kind of bummed it's not called the Mike Leg, right? But he gave credit. It wasn't even his original thought.
It's a minor
somebody
leader.
Else. Yeah.
Like in Orlando or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He used to do it all the time, I guess. So pretty fascinating.
Here's my question by now.
Yeah.
How, if you do that and a goalie can see it starting to develop, like it's not a huge surprise now, how does the goaltender not just say screw it and swing a stick at the guy? Old school. Billy Smith. I'd slash him. I'd spear him.
No,
you wouldn't get that off.
That's funny you say that because
I try to hit a stick because if you hit a stick, it's going to pop.
That's funny you say that, though, because that has been running rampant in youth hockey. I'm sure, Jesse, you can probably attest to this, that you see kids trying this all the time. My old job, these guys were texting me that they had a parent come in and they had to try to get a first aid kit for their kid because he tried the Michigan and some kid at the tournament over at the super rink just went full lightsaber and smacked him on.
So what should I do?
Giant cut. I guess that's one way to defend from it. Anyways.
Well, hold on a second though. In a pro game, I ain't allowing that.
No.
Like Torts hates it. Torts hates it and doesn't want it done.
Yeah.
That's fine if you want to try it. But if I see you start to go scoop, I'm taking my stick and I'm just going to swing it. I mean, okay, I take a penalty. Guess what you're not going to do next time? You ain't going to try the Michigan on me.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a pretty gnarly feeling for a goaltender, right? Just got to be a little. It's similar in a sense to a slap shot during a shootout, Brian Rolston special, right? Or even the Pasta did that the other night, too. I saw that.
I find that less offensive. I find that
I like them both. I love them both.
Well, I like the Michigan, but I can.
Disrespectful.
But I'm saying I can combat the Michigan. Slap shot, first of all, I think it's a good idea because if it's a surprise, but second of all, it's not disrespectful. As a goaltender, I have to face slap shots. As a goaltender, if you think you're going to put the puck on your stick and literally swing it around lacrosse style, you're going to get hurt.
I find both levels of disrespect. I feel like I'm slap-shotting it at you. I'm just kind of like, F off, man.
Well, you are, but that's but it's, you know? No, but I don't mind it.
I love
as much.
It, but...
You know who hates all of that more than anybody else? Jay Beagle. You remember when he attacked Troy Terry because he was, in his words, skilling it up against his club?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Him and Torts are two birds of a feather.
The one that I think was so funny was it the Ottawa Toronto game where the Ottawa guy slapped it into an empty net and then the Toronto defenseman took a run and and post game Tkachuk said, "Oh yeah, that was great, that was fantastic," but then I think it was Nico Hischier of New Jersey did the same thing against the Senators. And so the clock expired, right? Uh-huh. And Hischier had an empty net and he was just going down the ice and he basically just hit at the puck a little bit. So he didn't slap it. It went in and Tkachuk attacked him. Brady attacked him. And it's like, dude, you just said you thought it was hilarious when your guy slapped it in. Like, pick your path.
I mean, to be fair, Morgan Rielly deserved the suspension because he cross-checked the dude in the head after.
Oh, I agree with that.
A little,
but they thought it was great.
But
Tkachuk thought it was great. His teammate did it.
Yeah,
he's like, I thought that was great. Our guy did that. Oh yeah, that was completely unnecessary.
Do you remember my favorite? This was probably a good 2 decades ago, maybe the Anaheim Ducks, and I forget the player's name. But he goes down, has the empty net, but he decides not to shoot it into the empty net, and he just wraps it around, hits the boards, and they ask, why didn't you shoot it into the empty net and get the goal? And he said, empty net goals are for bleep. And then he just left it at that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Who was
so
that?
To score into the empty net. Well, let's Google it.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Well, you're pulling empty that up. Do you remember the Artem Anisimov goal celebration where he scored, dropped to a knee, and did the...
Yes.
And then just got jumped immediately.
Yes, his teammates were pissed off.
I apologize. Oh, yeah. It was 1992 defenseman Alifredi, first NHL player.
Alifredi.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I actually watched him play a lot. He was, If I'm not mistaken, he was on the 84 Olympic team, and he looked like he was 40 when he was like 19. He used to smoke, chain smoker, and he would, I'm not joking, he would take the what's the contraption that they blaze up age to bend sticks. So it's like a
heat gun?
Heat gun thing.
Yeah.
He would use the heat gun to light his cigarettes.
I mean, it would work, yeah.
Just incredible.
And he was like totally bald by the end. It was just hilarious. I mean, he looked like he's a bleep kicker.
A legend.
All right.
Yeah, it was an empty net breakaway and he shot the puck into the corner and said,
"Wow,
empty net goals are for cats."
Don't tell Austin Matthews that. He likes the empty net goal. We got a lot of guys now that like the empty net goals. All right, here's my next question for you guys. So last night, as Jesse alluded to, we saw the Eastern Conference mayhem. Washington makes it, but that Washington-Philadelphia game is close. Philadelphia pulls their goaltender. Detroit has that. They're out now, but they had that incredible run of the last two games against the Canadiens where they tied, where they won a game late, I think, and then they tied a game late. Anyway, long story short, in my opinion, that this is the same thing that drove baseball to the expanded playoff format. If you guys recall around 2000, and it was probably 12 or 13, there was a crazy last night in baseball. Dan Johnson, who's from Blaine, hit a home run for the Tampa Bay Rays. There was complete chaos. It wasn't great baseball, but it was chaos. And baseball's like, let's capture that. There was the Wolves and Nuggets game 82 a few years back. Just a great game. Wolves win. And basketball said, hey, let's go to a format where we have a play-in. So we force these type of games. So instead of it being an organic, but it happens once every 10 years, we'll force it to happen once every or multiple times every season. So here's my question. I think that last night, once Bettman is gone, probably, but I think the league is going to push hard for a play-in. Because right now, if you had it in the West, it would be Nashville against the Kings and the Blues against the Wild. And then, so if Nashville beat the Kings, for instance, they would now go to the playoffs as the 7th seed. And then the Kings at the 8 seed would play the Blues, the winner of the Blues Wild, the 9-10 game, to get the 8 spot. Are you guys in favor of hockey expanding its playoffs to a play-in, Jesse Pierce?
I'm 50-50 on it. You already have so many teams that make the playoffs. It's kind of ridiculous, right? You have half of your teams in each.
But it used to be 16 of 21 when I was a kid. So, like, they're going to tell you that there could be more. I don't disagree with you.
Could be more.
I don't disagree with you.
I feel like it's too many. But you're right. I think it is something to be captured. It was super fun to watch all of those games last night, knowing it was on the line. And certainly a play-in yields a better result than having to go to the sixth tiebreaker of goal differentials, correct, right, or whatever that looks like. So I think there's an element there. But I think no matter what the opinion is, you're right, the NHL is going to recognize, hey, we could capitalize on this. We can make some more money. And that's what pro sports are all about, right? So I think you'll probably see it sooner rather than later. But yeah, something about it. Again, it's probably because it's hockey and we like to keep things as much the same as possible. So for me, it feels a little weird, but I suppose I wouldn't hate it as long as the matchups are there. I don't think the NHL necessarily wanted Detroit to be that team. I don't know that they would have loved having Philly. They wanted Washington. They wanted playoff Ovi, right? I mean, what the heck? I thought Washington was dead along with Pittsburgh like 2 months ago. So that's just a whole mind blow in and of itself. But I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I guess if I gunned ahead, yeah, sure. Why not?
AJ?
I'm kind of in the same boat. If you're going to copy and kind of go off of taking from what the NBA has done, also do what they already do with their main playoffs, where it's 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. None of this 2 versus 3 interdivision stuff. I understand you want rivalries. Well, guess what? That's going to happen in the deeper part of the playoffs where it's already ramped up. If you play better, you should be able to play a worse team in the first round. I feel like you've earned that. So if you're going to make the adjustment, that's fine. I don't really care. But first and foremost, make the change and do 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. Like, fix the seeding when it comes to the playoffs first.
Yes.
But then when it comes to the play-in, sure. I mean, I'm very indifferent on it. At the end of the day, I'd probably just – if you made me have to pick a side, if you get in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. But I'm not going to lose sleep over a play-in tournament being added.
Will the play-in be treated like a first round for the Wild, so they'll lose in the play-in instead of the first round?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Such unnecessary shrapnel.
I mean, it's just realistic talk here, Judd.
Bill Guerin, that was Jesse Pierce, who just talked to you this afternoon, your best friend.
I complimented his response today, and he's like, I know, Jess, it was a great answer. I was like, yep, exactly.
Boy. All right, so... First of all, AJ is 1,000% right. With the schedule, the way it breaks down now, too, I would keep the divisions for schedule purposes. I actually think the schedule now is perfect. Like I like the schedule. You see, I like seeing each team come in. I am still very bitter that they played Toronto in Sweden. I wanted to see the Leafs. You cost me the Leafs. I would have far preferred not to see the Senators. But I think the schedule is great. Like, you play... But the other thing, too, is the playoffs, it's not the divisions that set up the real rivalries. It's the playoffs. But, like, you're not even guaranteed now to play a playoff game or round against a division team if 2 threes do. But, yeah, I think the seeding right now sort of sucks. And we get way too many really attractive matchups at times too soon, at least a round too soon. So, Age is right. The idea of a play-in, the old man, to Jesse's point, well, this is hockey and this is the way they've done it. At first, I agree completely with you. But then I think about it and I'm like, number one, if you go to a play-in, that's a real bargaining chip potentially in the next TV contract. Because now I'm giving you more impactful games and you know, the sudden death nature of this is a lot of fun because we're not talking series necessarily. We're talking just games. And I also think that, you know, again, they used to put 16 to 21 teams, 5 teams didn't make it. And now half the league doesn't. And they're going to say we could put more teams in. So I think the person that the Judd that wants to attract the younger fan and fans that like to see evolution, I think the play-in actually would work. But my first inclination is what Jesse said, which is I don't like it, but I think I'm being too, I think I'm being too get off my lawn rigid when I say that.
Same. I'm probably being a little crotchety on it.
And you know, it put the Wild in a playoff now. And I mean, I think we all agree on this show that they don't deserve it, but that's not how the league really thinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse, in the East, it would put Crosby in a playoff situation.
Mm.
Like
they do love that.
To your point, Ovi being in is great, but you know, Sidney Crosby and Malkin are not in, and that would be attractive. So I could definitely see it being a bargaining chip, though.
Yeah, and think about like you said, the TV wise. Think about the advertisements for a Patrick Kane versus Sidney Crosby.
That's another great point.
One game for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to, like...
That's a great point.
The storyline there is fantastic. So, as much as maybe, like, we don't... Change is scary. It probably for the better. And plus, with how many times have we said we need a higher salary cap in this league? Anything to help make money is probably for the better. And this seems like a way to make money for the NHL.
Not to mention, these guys already make enough. I mean, just raise the damn cap. Yeah. Just raise the damn cap. Hey,
it
Jesse,
should go up this year, right?
It is going to go up a little bit.
Like, three, four?
It's going to go up a little bit, and then it should go up significantly at some point. But yeah, but Age is right. If they can get more from a TV contract, the PA has to make sure that that goes into the cap. Last question. What was your takeaway from what Guerin said? I don't know if he talked exclusively about the Flower or the season, but it's been a while since we've heard from Bill. What was your takeaway with like, where things stand, I guess, currently?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of paused a lot of that conversation because they will do locker room cleanout day on Friday where we'll get to talk to Bill again and all of the players. Today was kind of, we focused it more on Fleury because we had jobs to do to get that story out.
Sure.
But he did touch on it a little bit, you know, and had mentioned obviously the importance of the young guys like Liam Ogren stepping in and Marat and, you know, even Jesper just to get some of that NHL feel and hopefully have a little bit more confidence moving into training camp. But beyond that, he didn't discuss a whole lot. He did mention he felt the problems around the goaltending this year, which has been a big point of contention for the disappointment, was a lot of the guys in front he didn't think were playing up to par. And he didn't, a lot of guys in front of the goalies, both goalies. So I think that was kind of maybe one other takeaway. Otherwise, it was a pretty lighthearted chat. Again, more to come Friday as the season ends when we kind of do our State of the Union address with Bill Guerin, where we can kind of ask some of those probably harder hitting questions about the contracts and about some of the no moves and, you know, about the future. But in general, it didn't seem that Bill, you know, I'm not going to say he's happy, obviously, about them not making the playoffs. Of course, he's disappointed. And we did ask, what does he want to see against Seattle come Thursday in the final game? And he said he does want them to win. He wants to see them win. So take that for what you I roll the eyes.
Billy,
I know, sorry,
no.
H, I'm sorry.
Billy, we got to take the long view. Damn it, Bill.
I'm going to lose my mind.
Bill, listen to me right now. And by the way, Kings, bleep you too.
I hope they get swept just for that Monday night. I hope they get swept.
Age and I talked about this when we did a pod on Monday. I want your thoughts, Jesse, as well. Ogren, to me, looks like he completely belongs. I've been really impressed. Mm-hmm. You?
Incredibly impressed. I mean, there's all this hype and we get that a lot around all these prospects, right? And when none of us have really truly seen them, but he was another guy that stepped in and I like it. Now I'd rather see him do that against other team. You know, his first debut was against San Jose and
sure,
it's kind of like, well, all right, take that with a grain of salt. But I thought he looked really good against LA too. He could use a little bit more mass. I know I got grief about this saying that about Faber, but I think all these guys could use a little bit more mass. But I think he's definitely somebody who's going to be pushing for a roster spot, which again goes back to the original point that Bill has some serious decisions and different things that he's got to try to do, because I think Liam Ogren is a huge part of that future and that future should start next year.
If he doesn't make the team out of camp next year, I will personally go there myself and put him on that damn roster. I will go on and put him on. If they're not building going into next year, like if we have any, what's the word I'm looking for? Deference to veterans. I will get in my Chevy Cruze, drive to the X, and I will take their damn whiteboard and put names on it myself. Cause like, that's what next year's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Hustadinov, Ogren, Faber, of course. I mean, you got some, that's my thing is like the future's bright if they do it right. And that's why I like
put
the
no
Fleury
moves
thing
on those guys. Put a little no move tag.
Oh God. Well, yeah. And you know what you got to do here. Here's my question. What's the cap implications since you're already going to be in, you know, not as bad as this year because the cap's going up, but it's the last year of quote unquote cap hell. What's the implication if I just throw Johansson on and buy him out?
I'd do it.
You'd be going to a restaurant and like you got the Parisi and Suter main course, right? Like they're the main course, but it's like, would you like an appetizer? Basket. Yeah, I'll give you a Johansson too. I'll buy that one out. Yeah, I'd be serious. Yeah. It's Cheddar Bay biscuits, which by the way are delicious. I saw Red Lobsters in financial trouble. This is very, very distressing to me. Very distressing to me. All right, great stuff, guys. I'm sure we'll be back soon to talk about our reaction to the Bill Guerin end of the season press conference, since the wild coverage never stops on Judd's Hockey Show. Jesse, AJ, Judd, we'll see you later.